water this time in case my throat gives out before I get to the end. Maybe there's a place to put it there. Yep. Well, we've been talking about the three personages. Okay, that some say will be the Antichrist. There's the beast that rises out of the sea is a Gentile, an emperor that'll rule the world, still coming. And the whore that sits on the beast that rises from the sea is the capital of the empire. The beast that rises from the land is a Jew. He's called a false prophet. He's the Antichrist. He's the anti-Messiah. He's the lamb of the devil. So we're going to follow the destinations of these three. And we'll look at here in Revelation chapter 18. Verses 8 to 10. And see the whore. Here it says, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, the mighty city, for in one hour is that judgment come. And so the destinations of these three, the whore, well, she's going to be burned, and she's going to be destroyed, and says in one day, that great city, mighty Babylon, the judgment came to her. There's the beast that rises from the sea and the beast that rises from the earth. Let's look in Revelation 19, verses 19 and 20. You know, it's talking about there on the first one, though, that the whore and all the different lands that had gotten gain through the traffic. And I think the Lord was accusing Israel early on because instead of trusting in Him, the Israelite kings would put their trust in other nations, rely on Egypt, rely on Babylon, and but one day they would come in and conquer. And then they also had a lot of trade from those countries. And so then the peoples of the world were lamenting the loss of all these goods and all the great things they had. And you think in these days, Israel again has made some peace treaties, as you would say, with other nations in the Far East. And based really on financial gain. And so that makes you wonder how close we are really to the end, you know. And people are thinking, hey, there's peace on every side. And so these are the end times. And so the beast that rises out of the sea, the beast that rises from the earth. In 19, verses 19 and 20, it says, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And so the armies of the nations are going to be gathered there at Armageddon. No? They're going to be fighting. And it's against Israel. And it's again, each one wants a part of this land, and to have what they can get. But they're fighting against the Lord, the great King of Kings. And it says, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their names gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone." And so, we don't want to be deceived. You know, you get deceived and you lead people astray, thinking you're right, but you're deceived. So we need to keep from being deceived. And this, the beast is a man. Though the scripture speaks of him as a beast for the things he does, he's a Gentile man. And then the second beast that comes up out of the land. You know, when the scripture talks about comes up out of the land, you can see it more clearly in Spanish or the Greek, because it says the earth in English. But it's talking about the land. It's the land of Israel. And so he comes up out of the land. He's an Israelite. And he's the false prophet. And so we need to realize who he is, what he is, and what he's doing. And he's the Antichrist. He's the anti-Messiah. He's one that the Jews will be waiting for. And thinking they're going to get the Messiah when they're going to get the anti-Messiah. He's the Lamb of the devil. And there's verses that talk about all this. And we're going to see them. And so, let's look in Revelation 20, verse 10. And it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." There are people that think, well, they're not worried about not going to heaven. I'll be down there with all my friends and enjoying what there's nothing to enjoy in hell. It's a place of torment. And it says it right here. Shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And so this beast, though he's to reign over the world, and he has his false prophet, and so he's a very important one, doing miracles, getting people to believe, getting people to accept the mark of the beast. They'll have it either on their forehead or on their arm. And that may become popular in these times. And so we need to be careful that we don't get deceived. Well, the personality of the Antichrist, we want to think about that for a little bit. He is the devil's copy of the Messiah. He's not the Messiah that we know of in the scriptures. And he's the devil's copy of the Messiah. And he's the Lamb of the devil. Well, the Lamb of God is the one that takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of the devil is the one that causes a person to be deceived and to accept the mark of the beast. And he does it through miracles and the things that he can do. And he speaks like a dragon. And so he's speaking for the dragon. He has the dragon behind him telling him what to do. And so he has nothing to do with the true faith. He's the deliverer of the devil, or the savior, supposedly. And so let's look at that in 19 and 20, it says, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him." Now, him is the Lord Jesus, Lord of lords and King of kings, to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with the false prophet, and with him the false prophet. So there he is, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, them that worshipped his image. So there'll be a lot of people that didn't receive the Lord Jesus Christ, but they will take the mark of the beast, and they will put their faith in this false Messiah that's coming. Them that worshipped his image. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, in the first of these seven empires, he set up this image. And okay, we're going to have the opening celebration to celebrate this image. And then when they came, okay, when you hear the music, then you're all to fall down and worship this image. And there was only three that didn't. And but for not doing it, they were to pass through the fire. And so that's what it'll be. People, if they don't go with what the beast says, they'll pass through the fire. Maybe be burned. They will be burned. These three didn't. Because the king looked and he saw, hey, there's one like to the Son of God. And there he was. Not just like, but he is the Son of God. And so they were spared. What were their names, those three? Does anybody know? Okay, thanks. Yeah, that's helped. Very good. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do we know their Jewish names? That's a bit harder, no? Yeah, that is. I'd have to look it up myself. And so, maybe somebody knows. I think I wrote it in my Bible here. Okay. Okay, very good. So, but they stood for what was right. And God blessed them for it. So here we see people won't stand. So talking about this Antichrist, he's the Lion of the tribe of Dan. Well, we've heard of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so the Lion of the tribe of Judah is who? Jesus Christ. But the Lion of the tribe of Dan. In Deuteronomy 33:22, it says, "And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan." And today that is what city? Who knows? We'll have to think about that one for a little bit. And Tel Aviv, maybe? I think, have to think. Okay. Lion of the tribe of Dan. Okay. Lion's whelp. He will be the high priest of the devil. Let's look at that in 13:12-15. Chapter 13:15. 13:11 and verse 15. No, verses 12-15. Be the high priest to the devil. Okay. It says, "And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Who was it that did wonders so that fire would come down on the earth and people would believe what he was wanting them to do? Do you ever hear of anybody who could do that? There were several. One was Elijah. Okay. They're on the Mount Carmel. When it was a great contest between him and 450. 400 of the prophets of Baal. And so they were praying and crying out and stabbing themselves with knives, doing whatever they could to make the blood flow to get his attention. Elijah told him, well, maybe he's on a journey. Maybe he's asleep. He's not hearing you. And they were doing everything possible to get his attention, but the fire didn't fall. But Elijah prayed when his time came. And he had already built the altar and put the wood on and the sacrifice on top, poured the water on, so it would be hard to burn it up. And 3 barrels of water, he poured on 3 times. And so it looks like he's not going to get his sacrifice burned either. No. But he prays. And it happened. Fire fell from heaven, licked up all the water and burned up the sacrifice. And the people saw that the Lord, he is God. And so, but here the people be deceived. He that doeth wonders so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. So you think of somebody that was wounded to death and then lived. Okay, that's a great one. And there'll be a lot of people deceived and by that. And then his prophet saying, you need to make an image of him and let's worship him. And encouraging people to do it and encouraging them to do that thing. So he says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So many be killed that day that they wouldn't worship his image. And we're talking about this Antichrist. He's the prophet of the devil. Verse 11, it says, And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. So he is of the dragon, and he is the prophet of the dragon, the prophet of the devil. Verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So that there'll be many that will be worshiping this image. Well, there are people that worship images in our day. Catholic people that are all around us. Many of them have an image of Mary in their car, or one of the saints. I forget what the name of the one is that's in the car, but it's supposed to be protecting them. And so they're used to worshiping images. This won't be a difficult thing for them. For us, all through Scripture, it's forbidden to worship an image or to bow before an idol. So that's the last thing we want to do. And but here we see in chapter 19, verses 19 and 20, It says that I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Because he's certainly against people worshiping images. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Well, have you ever been deceived? You know, it's bad being deceived. And many women have been deceived, thinking this is a saint of God that I'm about to marry, and found out that he drinks or he has a lot of bad vices, and he's anything but a saint. And so a lot of men have been able to get married, deceiving the girl that they were intending to marry. And so, but it's sad to be deceived. And sometimes parents, supposedly Christian parents, deceive their families. Maybe it's the husband goes off in another city and has another woman. And so he not only deceives the parents, or deceives his wife, but he deceives his children. Maybe he goes to church. Maybe all that you can see, he looks like a Christian, but he speaks like the devil, or he acts like the devil. And we talked to somebody like that this week. Maybe it's on the plane coming here, somewhere on the travels coming up here, that he said, yeah, I had Christian parents, but I act like the devil. And that was rather sad. As somebody that knows better and does worse. And so he listened for a bit, but he didn't make a change. And so it's sad. Sometimes people are deceived, and when they wake up to what's the truth, and it makes a difference from then on in their lives. And so, but these people, once they're deceived and they accept the mark of the beast, it'll be too late to get into heaven. If you got friends, you got neighbors, you got family somewhere that don't know the Lord, hey, it's time to reach him for Jesus before they're deceived by the beast. These verses say, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Think of making war against the one that came and gave his life for you there on the cross of Calvary. It's the same one. He paid the price to redeem us from our own sins. He did it not because we looked like a good option to have as his son. No, we all were wicked and evil. And he did that. You would say, for what reason? I mean, there was nothing in me that recommended me to him. And there's nothing in us that recommends this one to be a good Christian. And so, but he did it in love for us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And here it says, and they came to make war against him, against the only one that could give them life and give them heaven and give them his righteousness. You know, we get the gift of eternal life when we put our faith in Christ. And there's another gift. It's the gift of righteousness. And with that is an interchange. He takes our sin and gives us his righteousness. That's a beautiful thing. But people have come from all over the world. Soldiers. People in the Army, Navy, and Air Force, Marines to make war against the King of Kings. That's sad. They're going to die on the field. And the remnant were slain with the sword. Let's see. The beast was taken with him, the false prophet, and that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark on them of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. The remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So it's a day of feasting for the fowls of the air and for the wild beasts to consume all those that came against the King of Kings. And well, he's the prophet of the devil. Chapter 20, verse 10 says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." The same false prophet, the same Antichrist, he's the son of the devil. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "Let no man deceive you by any means." Some religious leaders are deceivers. Many are. "For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." We're in that day. There's a falling away. People that used to stand for what's right and now no longer stand. And I remember visiting in a house, not this year, but last year, here in this area, where there was a man who said, "I used to be in that. I used to go door to door. And now, no." And so, a falling away. Are we as hot for Jesus as we have been? Or have we cooled off? Are we with a heart's desire to serve? Or that desire has long since left us? We need a burning heart to be burning on fire for Christ. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition." He's the son of the devil. But we're going to look and see his names. He'll be the judge of the devil. So the devil has a prophet. He has a judge too. Chapter 13, verses 16 to 18. We're in Revelation again. Chapter 13, verses 16 to 18 says, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. And the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand, or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him that had understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. And the names of the Antichrist Okay, he's the lion's whelp of the tribe of Dan. We saw that Deuteronomy 33:22. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. He's the son of perdition. Saw that in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Have you fallen away? Have you cooled off? Have you lost your zeal to serve Christ? It's a sad day if it's so. It's a day to repent. Okay, he's the beast that arises from the land. Revelation 13:11. It says, I beheld another beast coming up out of the land. It says here, out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He's the false prophet. There in Revelation 19, verses 19 and 20. It says, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and his army, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. You know, we've said this false Christ or this false prophet is going to deceive many. But we know there's a lot of antichrist even today. Not the antichrist, but a lot of antichrist that deceive people. Have to be careful of those too. Okay, Revelation 20:10, it says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever for their deceptions. You know, it says in Revelation 21:8, those that are going to be in hell, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. Liars are people that deceive people. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, he's the Antichrist. We read about him in 1 John. We can go back there where it says in chapter 2, verse 18, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. You know, we've seen most of the press here in the U.S. that are trying to deceive the nation. And so they are a type of Antichrist too. And all these, we talk about the press, but it's people that are trying to deceive the nation so that we will follow the communist lead. And so they're a type of Antichrist that are trying to deceive the nation. And then we see he's the abomination of desolation. Look over in Matthew 24. It says, Wherefore, when ye therefore shall see the abomination, the desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Okay. This is also talking about the Antichrist. And the next page over, the false Messiah, Matthew 24:24, it says, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, and so much that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. So there's a lot of deception going on in our day, in our country. And praise God. We can praise God for the truth that comes from His Word. And praise God that at least there's been maybe one channel that at least part of the time gives the truth. And so about the present that's coming. And so anyway, God does great things. He's calling us to a renewed devotion to Him. And where are you? Have you been falling back? You know, we got some in our church that I think the virus has gotten them so scared they won't even come to church. And it looks like you got a pretty good congregation here. But ours doesn't look so good. We got a lot of people that are virus crazy. And they've really promoted it to such an extent that people are... Well, one lady said, I hadn't even gone to see my mom. Now, you can imagine. Not even going to see your mom. And it's not like she lives in America. I mean, she lives down there in Honduras. And so, that's sad. But I see people are so scared. And it's not going to be any less scary in that day because there's going to be like plagues. And there in Revelation, it talks about the plagues that are coming. And plagues worse than this one. And this one, the people are hoping to get better. And that one, they're going to hope to die because it's so bad. And that's their hope because at last, when you catch it, or it gets you, then you're going to be tormented for 5 months. So. And it's so bad, the torment. And so we need a renewed devotion to Christ. Lord, forgive me for backing up. Help me to go forward for You. Start studying the Word. Start going for Christ. Jesus is calling. Come, brother. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Father God, even now as we're praying, speak to hearts and souls that they'll come for God. Maybe at one point they were a little closer to You and they were more eager to serve You and now just grown a little colder, maybe here in this time of the virus. Wake us up, Lord, to be for You with all our heart and all our soul, to love You, Lord, best of all, to put You first in our lives. And sometimes we've let You slip from that first place and something's come in the way between You and us. And help us, Lord, to put You first in our lives. Do a work of grace in our lives, we ask. And we thank You. Bless You and praise You. If there's any here that's not saved, today's the day to come and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.